Good evening, everyone. This is Dawn Ireland, President of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. This week, Tracy Meets is interviewing the family of Oliver Springs, or better known as Ollie. His parents, Carlos and Kimberly, are going to tell us about their CDH journey.
Hello, I am here with Kimberly today, and she is here to share her story. Kimberly, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Kimberly Spriggs, and me and my husband are from Maryland. And we're currently relocated to Philadelphia. We're at CHOP.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what life was like before you heard the word CDH.
Well, life was actually, it was great. We certainly, you know, we were on our journey to, becoming parents. And when me and my husband met, we were together maybe 6 months, and we found out that we were expecting. We had known each other for a very short time. We found out it was a little girl, and just one day I started having some issues, and we unfortunately miscarried her at about, I believe it was about 16 or 17 weeks. So we were kind of like almost halfway, I guess. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened, but we miscarried her. And then after that, we decided to, you know, trying to recover from that and take a little break and not try again. We actually ended up getting pregnant 2 more times after her. And those were like early losses. They were like chemical pregnancies. So we suffered that as well. We ended up getting pregnant again in 2018. That was the first time that we actually heard about CDH. We went to our 12-week scan with him, with that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time we heard about CDH. We had never heard about it before. Didn't know anything. We went into, you know, we were kind of like, we were excited about that pregnancy after what we went through before.
Right.
With our other losses, and it was just so much information and a lot to take in. But yeah, that was the first time we heard about CDH. Prior to that, I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know anything about it. Yeah.
Right. And what happened to that pregnancy? Did you guys continue that pregnancy?
Oh my gosh. It was rough. We found out about the CDH very early on. Much earlier than we found out was Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
It was our 12-week appointment, and it was just, we didn't know what to do. Like I said, we never heard about it before. During that pregnancy, we were never told about other options. Didn't hear about CDH International. We didn't hear about all these other CDH babies. We didn't hear about CHOP. We didn't hear about all these other hospitals that this is what they deal with, you know, daily. You know, the hospital, all children's in Florida, we didn't hear about any of that. And they told us that it was, you know, pretty bad. He had, it was the same as Ollie, actually, left-sided CDH, and it was severe for what they could see on, you know, the scans. Mm-hmm. And everything. And they said, they kind of pushed us to terminate. And it was just like a whirlwind of like so many emotions and not knowing what to do. Like, should we carry on with the pregnancy, not knowing what he's going to go through? It was a little boy, just like Ollie. And they said, you guys have time to think about what you want to do. And we took about a month or so and thought about all the options that we were given, mm-hmm. which weren't many. They kind of like I said, really pushed, you know, ending the pregnancy. And that's what we did.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what the feelings and the decisions around that.
It was really, really hard. Like we took it was about a month that we took to decide, you know, what is the right thing to do. And I think the whole time during that you know, thinking process that we were, you know, me and my husband going back and forth, like, and we weren't given much information. We weren't told like what, we were referred to a specialist at Hopkins in Baltimore. But even then, in 2018, they weren't advanced as they are now with CDH. Mm-hmm. I was told during our journey here with Ali that Hopkins in Baltimore, they actually, like, I believe they have their own CDH unit now. They didn't have any of that back then, mm-hmm. in 2018. So they've come far.
Right.
With having their CDH specialists and everything. But, you know, we took about a month to decide if we wanted to terminate, and we did. We thought that it would be best for him to not have to go through what, you know, he would have gone through.
Right.
Yeah. And I try not to talk about it, but it was really hard.
I can't even imagine what you've went through. And then fast forward to hear about Ollie. How far along were you in your, oh, you're fine. How long, far along in your pregnancy with Ollie?
So
was diagnosed.
Oh, and I just want to say real quick, our little boy that we lost, his name was Dominic. We named him.
Oh,
and we named all of them that we lost. We gave them names. But yeah, we found out with our last one at 12 weeks. It was actually much further along. We found out with Ollie at 20 weeks.
So was CDH on your guys' minds when you guys, yes, went into your appointments? Were you asking about CDH at that point?
With our last, with Dominic, we actually, they told us that if you guys get pregnant again, it's a 1% chance. And we were like, okay. That's such slim chances of it happening again. So we went into, when we found out we were pregnant with Ollie, we were excited, you know, nervous too, because of everything we've been through, but we were like, we only have that 1% chance. So I think we're going to be okay. And we were that 1%, or he was the 1%. We found out at 20 weeks, and we went into that appointment, I mean, my husband, especially, I'm always like I'm more of the negative one. Mm. My husband is always the positive one. And he was like, everything will be fine. You know, and that was the first appointment he was able to go to with me because of COVID. Mm-hmm. All the appointments leading up to the 20-week appointment with Ollie, I went by myself.
Oh.
And that was the only one that he could go to because it was an important appointment.
Right.
So yeah, that it was in the back of my mind, I'm sure it was in the back of his, but we were like, we're not going to be the 1%, we'll be fine, everything will be good, and we were really hoping it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
How did they tell you during the appointment? Was it something that was really obvious?
I think it was pretty obvious, because when they started the scan, the nurse or the tech that was doing it, I think, if I remember correctly, she like saw something pretty quickly. And then she went to get the doctor, and the doctor came in and did the scan again. And we went on from there. You know, they knew that our previous was or had CDH, you know, that was in my record.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they pretty much knew what it was, and they referred us to, that was the first time that, you know, they actually, I mean, this was a different practice I was going to, mm-hmm. from the one I went to before, but, you know, they told us about CHOP, and I'm so glad they did, and didn't just kind of like what we went through before, and we didn't have any information.
Right.
So.
And how far is CHOP from where you guys are located there in Maryland?
A little bit more than an hour, maybe like an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
So not real far.
No. So how did your rest of your pregnancy go? Did you have any complications, or did it go smooth sailing?
I was sick for about 2 months, which I had been sick with all my other ones, because mm-hmm. I expected that. I knew that mm-hmm. was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I was hoping it wouldn't, but it did. But after the 2 months of being really, really sick, like I literally couldn't eat or drink anything. It was rough. But after 2 months, like besides dealing with the news that he had CDH, like it went, I mean, I had to pee every 5 seconds. as soon as I got in the car, we would go somewhere. Oh, gotta use the bathroom.
Right.
We left our house.
Oh.
Besides the typical pregnancy stuff, being hungry all the time after being so sick for 2 months, it went really well. And, you know, I had never gotten that far. Well, I got to 20 weeks with Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we went through the process of, you know, doing what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty far along with him. I mean, I found out at 20 weeks with Ollie about the CDH, but, you know, that was with Ollie, obviously, that was the furthest that I have ever gotten with any pregnancy. So it was really cool to feel him kick and all those awesome things that you, the really good things that you go through with pregnancy.
Right.
You know, feeling him and feeling him move and sitting on my bladder.
Right.
Yeah. It, after, you know, once I got further into the pregnancy, it was great. It really was.
That's good. And then you're.
I miss my belly.
Oh, yes. He was safe inside there.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
tell me, did they plan an induction? Was the C-section, or were they going to let him come naturally? What was the plan there with you guys staying an hour or so away?
Yeah, so they wanted, so when we started our appointments at CHOP, we started back in, I believe it was December, early December, we went to our first appointment at CHOP. It was the longest day ever. We started at like 8 a.m. We didn't get out of there until like 5 or 6.
Wow.
We literally saw everybody. We met with, you know, I had an MRI. I had, you know, multiple scans, a whole bunch of stuff. Their whole process for, you know, CDH baby. So they said that the whole time I was pregnant with him up until maybe like a month before he was actually due, he was breached.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that if he continued to stay breached, that they would schedule a C-section. But they were hoping that he would turn around and then I could have a regular delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But every appointment that I had with them up until delivery, you know, up until close to delivery, he stayed breached. But then one of our last appointments that I went to where I had an ultrasound, the tech came in and he was still breached. Soon as she walked out the door, we were talking about it. We were like, we hope he turns around. You know, we don't want him to stay breached. You know, I would like to have a regular, you know, delivery. And soon as she walked out the door, I felt like the biggest like movement or kick.
Oh, no.
And he flipped himself and he was not breached anymore.
Oh,
it was really cool. And when the tech came back in, we were like, well, I just felt something really big. And then she went and checked, she did another ultrasound and he was turned around the right way. It was really cool.
Yeah, so
I think he was listening to us.
Right.
But ultimately I ended up having a C-section. I started having labor about 2:30 in the morning on April the 6th.
How far along were you?
38 weeks. That was pretty, I was almost full term.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. You know, that was a worry of mine because, you know, they go in and check your, like, you know, your fluid and everything. And it was like kind of high, but not really bad. Not like a high number. So they kept thinking that that I was going to deliver early or have him early. And I was like, no, he's got to stay in there because we wanted him to be as far along as possible.
Right.
Because of his, you know, what he would have to go through once we had him.
Right.
So I started going into labor 2:30 on April 6th. And then we went over to CHOP. We were staying at the Ronald McDonald House here in Philly. So we're literally 5 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So they told us to come in. And when I got there, I was 3 centimeters dilated. And yeah, it started the whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, you arrived to the hospital. What are you thinking knowing that his journey is about ready to start?
I was really nervous, but I was excited to, I was nervous for what was to come because I didn't know what to expect. They try to prepare you as much as possible, but really, and I know that more now than ever, is you cannot, they can't prepare you enough mm-hmm. for what you see and what you go through, because every baby's different. I feel like, you know, no two babies are the same when it comes to CDH. Somebody could go home in 3 months. Somebody can go home at a year. We're almost at a year. And I've seen other CDH babies that I follow. They go home at 3 months.
Right.
So they're all different.
They are.
I was excited to meet him.
Yeah.
You know, going through everything else we went through previously, like we were going to meet our baby
mm-hmm.
and see him. We never got to do that with anything else, with the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really nervous, but I was excited too.
Mm-hmm. So what led to the C-section? What happened that prompted that?
So all day on April 7th, you know, they tried to like help me move forward with, you know, be dilated, you know, get further along in the process. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't really moved. Like, I think I got to 6 centimeters and they were like, okay, I think we need to, you know, do the C-section. They had brought it up before, you know, they talked to us, you know, you guys may end up needing that. And, you know, especially since he had been breached the whole time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So we were prepared for it. That's one thing I kind of regret is not doing research on C-section, because obviously I never had one before. I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like they told us, you guys may have one. But I really, I never did research on it. I think I was so busy looking up stuff about CDH
mm-hmm.
that I never, you know, looked into really what happens when you have a C-section.
Right.
But yeah, so I got to 6 centimeters and they were like, we need to just move along. And I think we're going to go ahead and schedule you for a C-section. And at that point it moved pretty quickly. I think within about an hour, they had us scheduled for the OR, and we were ready to go. And it was about 7:30, and then they got started. It took a little bit for them to get him out. I think he was like tucked somewhere. He didn't want to come out. He wanted to stay in there.
Right.
I wanted him to stay in there as long as possible.
So your husband was there with you, even with COVID, he was able to be there.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, he went with me. He took me over to the hospital at 2:30 in the morning. He stayed the whole time.
That's great.
Yeah, it was, I don't think if he wasn't there, I don't even know.
Right.
Yeah. So they got us all ready for the C-section. And then they were finally able to, you know, pull him out. And we didn't get to see him. I didn't get to see him at all. You know, they pretty much took him right away because they knew that, you know, what their process would be is to get him, you know, hopefully intubated, which they did. Got him all, you know, settled and everything. He was intubated, had a whole bunch of IVs and lines hooked up to him. My husband actually, while they were finishing up with me, which took forever, you know, to close me up and everything, it took so long. They were having some issues with that with me. But my husband was, once they got Ollie to a room down in the NICU, he was able to go down and take some pictures. So it was, and then he came up and showed me, and against advice, medical advice, they said, you have to rest. You have to stay in bed. I went down maybe an hour later and saw him. I'm like, I have to see him.
Right.
So yeah. And, We have, I don't know if you've ever seen him on Facebook, but we have pictures of when he was first, you know, born and everything. And everything was hooked up to him. And after about 4 hours, they decided that he needed ECMO. So he was hooked up to that 4 hours later. He was only 4 hours old. And that started our journey.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long was he on ECMO?
He was on ECMO for 27 days.
27 days.
Yes.
And then during that time frame, did he have his repair surgery while he was on ECMO?
Yeah, it's something that they didn't want to do. They say that they prefer not to do any surgeries because of bleeding and other things while on ECMO, but he had his repair on day 20 and then was taken off ECMO a week later. So yes.
Did he have any other complications on ECMO? Any bleeding or clots? Did anything
he actually off? He never had any clots. I know that, and I, yeah, this was after he ended up needing some like transfusions and stuff, but when he was on ECMO, he actually did pretty well. I have this journal that I have kept track of everything that has gone on with Ollie.
That's nice.
I don't have it with me right now, but if I remember correctly, he never had any real issues on ECMO.
That's good. He's a strong little guy.
Oh my gosh, he's so strong. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they did his repair on day 20. They took him off ECMO on April 20th or day 27. It was April 27th. And then he did good with the repair surgery. They weren't able to close him up all the way. Mm-hmm. And put everything back in where, well, the only thing they couldn't get back in where it needed to go was his bowel. Mm-hmm. So they ended up putting a silo over his opening and enclosing the bowel in this silo. It looked like a plastic grocery bag.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that. So they had his bowel in the silo to allow more room in his belly.
Mm-hmm.
And then once there was more room, they were able to put that back in and close him up completely.
How long did that process did that take?
I believe it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. roughly. And then after that, you know, he really began like the healing process and just recovery, right. Which, you know, his recovery was pretty rough. He had issues with not the patch itself that they used for the repair, but like he would get fluid around the patch. The patch is, you know, from the scans and everything they did, they always said the patch was good and in good condition. They used like a mesh mm-hmm. patch, not a biological patch.
Right.
And then, but there was always like three times in a row, there was fluid that was collecting around the patch and it was infected fluid. So he got sick, mm-hmm. really sick. Three times we dealt with that. He had to have, IR, interventional radiology, come and put chest tube. He had two or three chest tubes to help get the fluid out, to drain some of that. And that seemed to work. But they had to do it two or three times because mm-hmm. the fluid would go away and then it would come back. And like the entire time he was on antibiotics, for a long time.
Right. I remember.
We were finally able to get him off the antibiotics, which was scary because I was like, well, what if we take him off and then he gets sick again? Mm-hmm. And he's doing so well. But when they ultimately did stop the antibiotics, you know, he hasn't had any issues since then.
That's good.
But he had three infections around his patch. He was on so much medication at one point, sedation and pain medication, that he became like delirious. And they had to treat that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really crazy.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Just, yeah.
So when was the first time that you got to hold Ollie? Was he still on the ventilator?
Yes. So he was off ECMO. We wouldn't have been able to hold him while he was on ECMO. But he was, once he came off of ECMO, we held him when he was 37 days old.
37 days.
Yeah. So a little bit more than a month, we were able to hold him. He was still intubated. Okay. He was still on the ventilator. He was on the ventilator for 4 months. Mm-hmm. But the first night that we held him, it was actually Mother's Day weekend.
Oh,
that was really cool.
Was. I'm sure you didn't want to give him back to the nurse either. Or even share with your husband.
No. And actually, I let my husband hold him first.
Oh.
I was like, precious. You can hold him first.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. Just but never got to hold our baby before. So it was like
very special for you guys.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And he was so cute.
Oh. He is a cutie, that is for sure.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about how long it took him to get off the ventilator. Was there days that you had to put him back on, or how did that process go?
So he was on the, he was intubated for 4 months, and they decided to, I believe it was the middle of August. They said, we're going to extubate him. They had talked about it for a while, and they were just waiting for, you know, the best opportunity for him to go ahead and do it. They were like, we're going to extubate him, and then we're going to put him on BiPAP. And we have a couple different masks we can try when we switch him to BiPAP. They have like the full face one, they have the mouth and nose one, and they were going to see which one he liked more.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like any of them. No. He hated the full face mask. It was like a school mask.
Right.
Oh my gosh, he hated that one. Oh. But anyway, they extubated. It went well. It was really cool to see like him without that tube in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And then he did pretty well for the first couple days. Going into about day 3 and 4, he started to work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
With his breathing and not look so great. And by day 5, we were like, this isn't working. He's working way too hard, and we didn't want to set him back.
Right.
We didn't want to go backwards. We were trying to move forwards, you know, forward.
Right.
So we decided to reintubate him and let him rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we tried again about a month later, and then that time was successful. We were able to get him on BiPAP, and he did really well.
That's good.
During that whole process, when they extubated the first time, they had stopped one of his pulmonary hypertension meds. They had weaned him from that, and he was he was on two others. But his one Remodulin, they had weaned, and he was off of it. And we're not really sure. We know it helps him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with him coming off the Remodulin, being extubated, like, it was a lot all at once,
mm-hmm.
we feel like.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of felt like that was not in his favor to do that all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, but we were able, they actually restarted him on that other medication. Mm-hmm. And then they, after reintubating him again, and then we were able to extubate about a month later, and he's done well ever since.
And he's still on like a CPAP. Is that what he's on now?
So they extubated him to BiPAP, pretty high settings. And then they were able to wean down from that. He got to, you know, a decent setting with his BiPAP. And then just about a week ago, he was put on CPAP, and that was the first time they've done that. And he's doing great with that. And they've been able to keep they have like a RAM cannula. It's like a bigger cannula, mm-hmm. that's just in his nose. So he doesn't even have the mask anymore.
Okay. Is he happier with not much having that mask?
Oh my gosh. So much freedom.
Right.
So I think he's pretty happy with that.
And he's still on several medications for his pulmonary hypertension, or just the one?
He's on 3.
On 3.
So they had restarted the Remodulin back after they extubated the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on 3 of those. 2 oral medications, and 1 is sub-Q, so it goes right into his, like, through a pump.
Okay.
And it's in his leg.
Okay.
So, and he's on other medications as well. He's on a medication for his reflux. He has reflux pretty bad.
So tell us a little bit about his feeding. Did he have feeding struggles, or how has that journey been with feeding?
Yeah, so he's been on continuous feeds for a long, like, pretty much the whole time. I mean, back in the beginning, he was just on, like, the TPN and lipids, mm-hmm. but then we got him to a point where he could start the formula, and he's been on continuous formula. They just recently, probably about a month ago, they were stopping his feeds in the evening from, like, 6 to 10. So he has a little bit of a break because he's been on continuous the whole time, 24 hours a day. So, and he's done really well with that.
That's good.
So he's on like a Gerber formula. It's formulated, you know, it's like a gentle formula. So, because his reflux is pretty bad, like I said. And he does really well with that. The only other thing that he has a speech therapist that comes to see him. He has speech PT and OT that see him throughout the weeks. And she's let him taste like different baby foods. And he loves the bananas. He thinks he loves the bananas. So we've done little tasting of things here or there, but as far as his feeding and stuff, that's pretty much it.
So do they plan on just continuing those continuous feeds, or do they plan on trying to see if he will take a sippy cup or a bottle, or?
We've never done any of that. I'm sure, I mean, we've talked about a little bit here or there, like what we could do when we get home. His speech therapist says that we can try the baby food, different baby foods and stuff when we get home, you know, stuff that's like a smooth texture. That we could start with. And then I think that's something that we're going to really work with once he's home and start incorporating, you know, whether it's a bottle or sippy cup or whatever. We haven't done much of that while he's been at the hospital though.
And still being hooked up to the BiPAP and then the CPAP. They probably want him on a lower support before they start.
A lot of it has to do with the respiratory support that he's on and has been on before they go into all of that.
I've been seeing your videos and pictures that you've posted, and we see them working hard with OT and PT and
speech. Oh my gosh,
the other day you posted a video of him on his little swing and him looking like he wanted to get his swing going, you know, himself. He's a very intelligent little boy.
He's so smart, and he has come so far. It's crazy.
What are your goals for, what are your goals that you have to meet before you can take him home?
We honestly, like we continue to meet our goals with him. He's doing so well with everything. I know they want to kind of tweak his respiratory support a little bit, which we might see them do in the next week or so. But outside of that, you know, as far as me and my husband go, we've done all of our training. We've done everything. Ollie continues to do everything. And as I've been saying, you know, our holdup is nursing. They haven't expressed that there's much else to do as far as Ollie goes before we can go home. So it's just finding that nursing.
And how much nursing are they wanting you guys to have at home?
So they want us to start with 20 hours for 2 weeks, 20 hours a day for 2 weeks. And then we can cut it down from there to probably about 16 hours for 6 months. So.
And is it just mainly for respiratory support? Is that their biggest concern?
He does have a GJ tube, which he got, you know, a couple months ago. But you know, we've been trained in all of that. I guess, you know, there could be issues that arise with that. We were trained in all of that though. But yeah, the main thing I think is his respiratory support and just to make sure that he's safe. So they're kind of basing us needing nursing on if something were to happen. Okay. If that makes sense. So hopefully nothing will happen, but if something does, they want nursing there. So, yeah.
You guys would be farther away from the Children's Hospital. Is that, you have one there in Maryland close by to you?
So there's one that's a little bit closer. It's in Delaware. I think it's called, it's AI DuPont. We have a small, like, local hospital. You know, they would be able to get him stable, but that, you know, stable enough for a transfer. Because, you know, if something were to happen, I would want him to come back to CHOP. You know, so yeah.
So what do your days look like? Are you spending your time with Ollie every day, 24, almost 24/7, or just leave to take a nap?
I'm not doing 24 hours anymore. Oh my gosh. When I used to go there like a few months back and I was there all day long, like from 8 or 9 a.m. until like 7 or whatever, 7 at night. Like I had so many people tell me, you have to take a break. You have to leave, you know, and you have to take care of yourself.
Right.
It took me a while to like accept that and do that. So now I typically go just in the afternoons for like between like 5 to 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going. And when I was going really early, it's when he wasn't doing well, you know.
And are you guys still staying at the Ronald McDonald House?
Yep. We've been here since the beginning. So yeah, we're still here.
Does your husband have to commute back home or is he able to work there?
He actually works from here. That's nice. He's been remote since the start of COVID. Okay. So they haven't made him go back yet and hopefully they won't.
So with COVID restrictions, was CHOP allowing you both to be back with him or did you guys have to take turns?
No, the whole time we have been able to be back there with Ollie in his room. They sort of changed the policy a couple months back when COVID was just like starting to get better. And my mom and my husband's mom have been able to see Ollie and come visit him.
Oh.
So that was really cool. But then once COVID started to go up again and like get a little bit worse, they changed their policy as the same here at the Ronald McDonald House. There's no visitors.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time me and my husband have been able to be there with Ollie and see him every day.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. So tell me, I read a little bit that he said his first word just recently.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have it recorded. It was like perfect timing. But he said hi.
Oh.
A couple days ago and he said it twice.
That's cool.
And yeah, like I said, I was able to record it once. So it was really cool. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
I was like, what? Yeah. Me and his, the nurse that he had that day, I was there visiting him and we just kept saying hi over and over and over again. And, he said it.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
Yeah, it is. Very cool.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you would like to share about Ollie's journey?
Just that he is one strong baby. He has been through so much. And, you know, just when we go back and look at pictures from the very beginning and seeing how far he has come and, you know, I really do believe that, you know, if it wasn't for CHOP, then, you know, I don't think he would be here. You know, we had some scary moments where we, you know, there was one occasion just really quickly that, you know, we had a family meeting a few months back and the doctor said, if he doesn't get better, there's nothing else we can do. You know, he was at the max of all medications, pain, sedation, whatever it was, there was nothing else they could do. And I remember, you know, being at that family meeting and crying so hard, you know, when the doctor said that. And, you know, all I have ever wanted was a baby. And for somebody to tell me there's nothing else they can do, I'll admit that I lost it. I was so upset. And then like literally the next day or the day after, Ollie started getting better. I prayed so hard. I prayed this entire journey,
right.
But in that specific moment when he was not well, mm-hmm. like I prayed so hard and, you know, if it wasn't for CHOP and God, I don't think he would not be here.
Right.
So
he is a strong little boy.
So strong. And so are.
And he still has a smile through everything. You know, he still smiles.
Yeah. You would look at, I feel like if you look at him now, like you would never know if you didn't see his scar or if you didn't see anything else on him, you would not know what he's been through.
Right.
So yeah, he's so strong.
He is very strong.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for families that are just starting out on this journey and hearing the word CDH?
Wow. I could probably go on for days, but I won't. I won't take all your time. Oh my gosh. Like I said in the beginning, I don't think you can ever be prepared, like fully actually prepared for what you're going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the parents that they have to stick together, you know, cause this weighs on other things in life, like your relationship and your, you know, marriage and other, you know, if you have other kids, they suffer cause their parents aren't there. And like all these other things, right, outside of the hospital, life still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you have to try your best to balance everything. And, you know, your baby is going to be so strong, and just pray and have as much faith as possible. Cause that's what we've done. We've prayed every single day, and, you know, just for me, I think God does listen. You know, I know other people have other beliefs and stuff, but mm-hmm. He does know and He listens, and just take one day at a time, mm-hmm. you know, seriously, one day at a time.
Right.
Very and perfect. Whether you're there for 2 months or 3 months or like us, almost a year, you know, just take it one day at a time.
Right.
So.
So anybody out there listening that may be a nurse in your area, what would you like to say to them?
Please be Ollie's nurse. like in what aspect? Like, what do you mean? Like
how important, you know, we've got so many CDH families still in the hospital waiting for nursing care. Share your thoughts on that and why it's important to that you guys need help because you want to take your baby home.
Yeah, I think that a lot of, just in my experience recently with trying to find nursing, like, I don't think these agencies and even the nurses maybe realize how much we've gone through or how long we tell them, but they don't realize the impact of what it's like of seeing your or having your baby in the NICU and you're so close to going home and you can't because there's no nursing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ollie deserves to be home. You know, he's doing so well in the hospital. I think he'll do 1,000 times better at home. And, you know, he deserves to be home and so do we. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of maybe being more understanding.
Right.
Of what a family has gone through and what they are going through and that they just want to go home.
Right. So yeah. Do they think that Ollie will go home before he turns one? Is that the goal?
That is the goal. Yes. Yeah. And I pretty much, I'm sure they're tired of me saying it, but I say that pretty much every day when I go, I'll just tell the nurses, we have to get him home before he's one. We are already planning his birthday party. We're like already, you know, starting to think of different ideas and stuff because we are really hoping that he'll be home.
Mm-hmm. I hope he is home too before you know it.
So we may have some promising things coming up this week. So fingers crossed
over here. We're praying for you guys and we're praying for Ollie and we hope he keeps making that good progress and that you guys can take that sweet boy home.
Oh, thank you. And I want to say thank you to you and Dawn.
Oh, you are very
You guys
welcome.
Have been, yeah. If it wasn't for you guys, I think I've lost my mind a couple times here or there throughout this process, but just having the support and like knowing there's other, you're not alone, like really that makes a big difference.
Oh, so. You are very welcome. I remember your first emails and back and forth with you. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that your journey has ended, you know, this well, and that you're so close to taking a baby home with you.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Well, I'm sure you do now.
I love checking in. I love to see your updates. I love seeing Ollie's face and his smiles and his progress. It's amazing to see him reach those goals. It just is.
Yeah. We're so proud of him. He's doing very well. He's a trooper.
He is. He draws his strength from his mama too. So keep being that advocate for him and
thank you.
Being that voice for him.
And he gets his positivity and his humor from his dad.
Oh,
he's such a funny baby. Like, he makes me laugh. He's so funny.
Oh, that's precious. That's precious. He's got the best of both of you.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, well, Kimberly, thank you so much for taking the time today to share more about Ollie and his journey with CDH. And we welcome you and your husband back here in the future to share an update from home and show off Ollie and everything that he is doing at home. We look forward to that day.
Yes, we'll have to definitely do an update when we're home. Yeah.
Yes, that would be cool. Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you so much to the Spriggs family for sharing your story with us. And how amazing is Ollie? He is just the cutest thing ever. And to hear your story about dealing with CDH more than once is just, I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine what this family has gone through. And sadly, it happens to quite a few CDH families. They tell us 2%, but we have a lot of families in our membership with more than one CDH patient. So we've got so much more research to do. If you would like to share your story with us, please go to www.cdhi.org/share-your-story. And we would love to share your journey on this radio show, on our telethon, on our blogs, all over social media, and to raise some congenital diaphragmatic hernia awareness. Till next week, Dawn Ireland. Thank you all again for tuning in. Thank you, Tracy, for doing another wonderful job interviewing another incredible family. I'll see you all then.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Clearly, no, I know. My car was torn off. Stand up for the land of Jimmy.